welcome to the Royal Priesthood Bible Prayer and Fellowship Room. We are broadcasting live from the Moriah Christian Fellowship, Ahav Leadership Center here in Greenville, Mississippi, and we want to sound the trumpet in Zion. Welcome, everyone, to the Royal Priesthood Bible Prayer and Fellowship Room. You are in the room, and you need to know that. Just ain't no stopping us now. Well, good evening. Good evening. I am Khalif Zafnat Pa'ania El, and you are in the Royal Priesthood Bible Prayer and Fellowship Room. We are broadcasting live here from Greenville, Mississippi at the Moriah Christian Fellowship, Ahav Leadership Center. And we are thankful that you've tuned in tonight, those of you in BBS Radio audience, as well as those of you who have dialed into the Royal Room. We're in for another exciting night tonight as we continue our discussion. Much is happening in our world, as usual, and we are looking for positive solutions and directives in terms of our responses to the things that are happening in our world and as we move forward, as our planet is ascending, as it ascends up the galactic belt, as we move toward the upper room, as the Bible calls it, in the 22nd chapter of the book of St. Luke, where everything is already set. Our planet is moving at terrific speed, being pulled by our sun in this vast, an enormous galaxy. We have crossed the galactic equator. And in crossing that galactic equator, we are now in what some people call the age of Aquarius. So the energies that are outpouring now are tremendous energies that are coming into our planet. They are being absorbed by our planet. They're being absorbed by us. And since Aquarius is ruled by Uranus and its gravitational field and energies, the established and traditional conventional models are being disturbed. These energies are somewhat disturbing. They will disturb in the sense that many of the structures that we've seen in our world, in our culture, are going to change. They're going to change socially. They're going to change economically and politically. We're moving into the upper room. We are moving into the great chamber. The Earth has a cycle of a great year. It takes 25,920 years to complete. We're moving closer to our binary star system, Sirius. And as we get closer and closer to this star system, we will see an increase in knowledge. We will see an increase in the levels of consciousness. We will see a great awakening. People will begin to awaken out of a deep sleep that has been for quite some time now. And so I'm looking forward to this exciting time as we see the desperate attempts of the old structures trying to hold on to its grip in our world. It is useless. They cannot hold on we have moved into a new area of enlightenment. So we are thankful. Tonight I'm going to, I got to get my fellows to check in with me. I have Rob here with me, who's AKA Asa Raguel Shema the Second. Hopefully, I want to turn these young men loose tonight. Our subject is procreation. Wealth creation by procreation. And tonight we're going to look at the great arcanum, the great mystery, the great secret in Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 26 and 27. It talks about the hidden mystery or the mystery that has been hidden from the ages in the book of Colossians chapter 1. Verse 26, it says, even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. And verse 27 says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory, of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, we're going to talk about this seed tonight. We're going to talk about the seed that we need to have. I'm thankful for all of our co-hosts, Dr. T.J. Prince, Dr. Danny Mills, Reverend Abbott, Chancellor from Ohio. We're thankful for him. And also, my teacher, mentor, and model, Asar M. Hotep, as we are broadcasting to you, a.k.a. Hoghead, Mr. Willie Curry. How you doing tonight?
Brian Baker, sir. How you doing?
Great, great. I'm looking for a great time here tonight. We have I'm going to put everybody on mute. Looks like I got a little background noise here, some people coming through there, and as soon as I take that, we can take a... How you doing, sir?
All callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
How are you doing, Mr.? How are you doing, Asar?
I'm doing very good. Thank you, sir. I've been busy all day, but that's what that's what my days are about, and I enjoy being busy, particularly when it's about something that I feel very, very highly about. So it's a good day. Every day is a good day, as long as I'm on top of the surface of the earth.
Well, good, good. I see the people are checking in on the board. We came up just a little early tonight, about 3 minutes early, and we have some young men with us tonight. Da'at Ben Israel, are you there?
Hello?
I think you... Da'at, are you there?
I get a lot of noise and stuff, but I'm still here.
Okay. I'm looking for Dodd here. I'm trying to find him. Darling, where are you? I'm looking for you. I don't know if you have the right sequence code here to get in. I don't know if that's you. Let's see. That looks like Minister Benaya, 310. Benaya, is that you? Check in. 310-510-310. Benaya, is that you? Okay.
Yes, me.
Okay, all right. I'm looking for Darling here. All right. Let's see if I can find him up here. I can't find him. He told me he was in here. I don't see your number. Let's see. You should have had... is that you? Are you open?
No, this is Anthony.
Hey, Anthony, how you doing? All right, man. All right. I don't see him. Okay. Let's see. He just got on the call. So anyway, we're going to proceed, Anthony. We're going to talk about... Anthony, I'm going to take your mic off if you got some... I mean, your mute off. If you got some noise out, because I want you to have input, be able to talk here, and How's everything down there in Georgia, or are you in Georgia?
Yeah, I'm in Georgia. Everything's beautiful down here. We had a lot of rain the other day, so you know that rain brings in that cleanliness and that purity, so I'm always welcoming that rain, you know. But, yeah, everything's good down here. Appreciate you that.
Well, great, man. We had a little rain, too. It got a little cold up here, and I made some interesting discoveries this week myself, so I want to jump right into this discussion where we were last week and talking about, because this is so critical to our people in the time when this information, the reason I prefaced the beginning of the broadcast talking about the age of Aquarius is because it's an outpouring of information. It's an outpouring of information that is going to be unsettling to some previous notions, some previous ideas, and some previous positions that we've held are going to be disturbed. They're going to be challenged by these energies. They're going to be challenged by this new information that there is nothing we can do about it. We have processed. Now, Dowd, is that you? I'm looking. I think I have your mic open. Are you there?
Hello?
Are you there? You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. How you doing?
Hey, man, I'm doing good. You know, I cannot wait to hear you young men go at it tonight. We're going to sit back, and we're going to jump in if we have to. Our brother Anthony is here. Asar Imhotep, he's here. I want you to just take this discussion away from us. We're going to talk about the Great Arcanum. People have been calling me today, asking me what is the subject matter. We're still on wealth creation through procreation, and we want to talk about this new area. And so I want you to just take it away. You and Asa, he's here. How you doing, Asa?
Doing pretty good, sir.
All right.
Okay. I would like to start off by saying that we need to focus on the sexual desires right now, because the way that sex is being used right now is entirely wrong because of orgasm. We have orgasms and ejaculation. That is an expression of animal instinct.
It's an expression of animal instinct. So is it? Do you think that the expression in our culture, as it relates to the exploitation of sex for sale, as it is proliferated in Hollywood and through the movies and through our culture, where these desires, the sexual desires, which we cannot put these flames out.
No, we can't.
We can't put these flames out. They're being exploited and directed in ways that are dysfunctional and that are hurting us.
Yeah.
So we need to say, according to you, we need to do what?
We need to do sexual transmutation.
Sexual transmutation. What do you mean when you say sexual transmutation?
Sexual transmutation means switching the mind from thoughts of physical expression to thoughts of other nature, which means thoughts of transmuting your mind, transmuting the sexual energy towards your mind and to open up your pineal gland.
Wow. Wow. What do you got to say about that there?
I'm in agreement. With the transmutation of the sexual intercourse, which is a suppression of the feeling the need to have the orgasm or the ejaculation, and which is the only way we can raise our consciousness and have this transmutation by withholding the orgasm. To his point, I was reading where the releasing of the semen or the ejaculation came from the animal instinct, is what animals do. And in the beginning, it was not so with Adam and Eve, even though Eve saw that the orgasm was good. They used the allegory of the she ate the fruit, and thus she gave it to Adam, and then they were naked. So he partook of the orgasm himself, according to the story. And the fact that this thing is hidden, like you hinted to, is that Adam knew his wife, or knew Eve. So that henceforth that there is a fine line between sexual intercourse and knowledge, to know these things, and we've been taught otherwise, and we don't know these things, so it may be appalling or a touchy subject for some people, because some people don't even like to talk about sex in general, because we've been taught not to have sex, you shouldn't have sex, or not to speak about sex, you know, or to abstain from sex, which, like what you said, is very complicated to do when a boy and a young girl becomes of age. They have these desires.
Now this seed that the Bible talks about in 1 John chapter 3, verse 9, it says, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. His seed remains in him. For he cannot sin, for he is born of God. Now, that's a lot being said. But let's see if we can just take it compartmentally and talk about the seed. What exactly is this seed? And then after we identify what this seed is, we need to understand what its potentials are. Because the seed has a certain capacity. What, first of all, is this seed? Let me just say that this seed has within it the very innate elemental essence, or the essence, I should say, the elemental essence of life itself. It has the physical component to it, has a intelligence to it, which gives it a psychological component, or mind of intelligence, and it also has a spiritual nature to it, the energy to it, the power to it. This seed has the potential, now that we understand what it is, what can it do? It can procreate. It can create another being with a soul, with a mind, with a body, all locked up in what is called this seed. Now, of course, in the book of Genesis, when we're talking about the Adam and Eve story, okay, and we see the seed comes up in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 15, where the figure is a serpent who is told that his head will be crushed by the seed of the woman, and the seed of the woman's heel will be bruised by the head of the serpent, which is the sexual desire. The serpent in the text, let's just cut through the chase. Serpent is a metaphor in the Bible for the sexual energies. Serpents in every culture is a symbol for the force or the fire or the electrical or the energy, and this is an energy. Strange that the Bible would open up. What? How do you think about the Bible opening up in a garden with a man and a woman who's naked, and all of a sudden you have this tree? All of these are metaphors. You've got this serpent, and then you've got this tree that he's not supposed to eat, because if he eats from this tree, then he's going to die. He's going to die. Then the next thing you hear, they eat it, they're naked, and their eyes come open, and they know that they're naked. Something happened to their consciousness. They became guilty and ashamed. They had a fall in consciousness by taking of this tree and eating. And then, of course, the birth cycle is altered. According to the biblical text and story, it says, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In sorrow shall you bring forth children. So the childbearing process has been altered due to this. So now, how do you feel about that, Dea? Talk to me. How do you feel about that?
That part right there was groundbreaking for me, because the story was never taught that way. You know, because basically what you're alluding to, or what it says, is the Bible begins with a love scene with this man and this woman, and to describe the serpent energy as not an actual serpent, but as a fiery desire. And for them to, obviously they did something incorrect because they were naked, they felt ashamed, they covered themselves, they hid themselves, and we know that it does have to do with a sexual encounter because the very next thing that happens is, you know, God tells them, because of this, I will multiply your sorrow and conception. So we know that it had to do with a sexual encounter. And for the average reader, when they read that, that's not what they see. So it was amazing that it was brought to my attention that way, and it makes excellent sense to me that that's what that story is about.
Yes, and I took it as not to make the same mistake as Adam and Eve. I took it as we need to learn from their mistake and focus our sexual energy to become a holy and heavenly men, women. So that's what I took it as. And also, one thing I learned while I was attending church, they always preach about celibacy. See, what I learned today that celibacy was replaced, transmutation was replaced with celibacy. And celibacy really is a form of fornication because it views and ways of sex engine because you're rejecting sex. And if you rejecting sex, that means that you rejecting the spirit of God that dwells in you because the spirit of God dwells in the sexual energy.
Let me jump in right now. Let me jump in. I think he just brought out a critical point. He just said that celibacy is a waste of the sexual energy, and sexual energy is given by God. And so let me see if I can find a scripture, something in the Bible that will collaborate and support that premise that you have just thrown out there. And I think I can. It says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the last times or latter days, some shall depart from the faith. That means the body of truth, the document, giving heed to seducing spirits or energies or thoughts and doctrines of devils. And it says, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Now watch this. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meat, which God had created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Now, this thing about forbidding to marry, which is a suppression and repression of this great energy and the desire, according to the Bible, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, is a doctrine of devils. So the suppression of this and the failure to express this, and not only express this energy or this force that is God-given, this is a powerful creative force we've already looked at, that is so powerful that it creates another being that has an eternal capacity to him. So this thing, this seed, this expression, this energy, not the seed, this energy, this desire is a burning desire. It's an electrical force. We call it the spirit. It's burning within us. And to suppress it or repress it will cause it to break out in a way that it's not supposed to break out. And I think that the people who kept this knowledge from us knew this and imposed sanctions on us in order to create the dysfunctions that we now see in our society. And we were not taught how to properly regulate this burning desire. And so therefore, this desire now can be exploited. People can make money off of it because it is something that is such a tremendous force and power at work in the universe. So you are saying that to abstain from this is a waste, and what we were not told is the real meaning of fornication. Is that what you just said?
Yes, sir.
Wow. So we've got the doctrines of devils, and according to another passage in Scripture, what we think is fornication is actually not fornication. Fornication is the repression of this energy and this fire. Paul says it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. It's better to marry than to burn. In other words, to express and allow this energy in the proper structure. Now, we're not talking about not having this energy flowing in the right way that it should, just loosely. We have to be trained. In Africa, the boy and the girl were trained in this. They spoke about it openly. We can see it in the hieroglyphs, in the writings, in the temples, that this sexuality was taught to the boys and girls. It was not something that was repressed. They understood the anatomy. There were disciplines that they matriculated in. And so sexual process was one of those processes that they were taught and they were given instructions in. Not in the way we are given instructions in the West now, in a perverted sense. Let me say this. The goal here, and I don't want you to miss this in the audience, is that, let me go back to 1 John 3 and 9 at the risk of being redundant and repetitious. When we understand how to regulate this seed, this is equivalent in the Bible to being born of God. To eat from the tree, not the tree of knowledge, as Deot said a moment ago, which has to do with sexual, now becomes the tree of life. And to eat from this seed means that you will have the perennial revitalization of your genes and your cells, and the atomic atoms in your body will be perennially renewed. So much instructions have to go through with this process that we were not told, and we were given a substitute process that diverts us away from all of the potential that we have on the inside. We need proper instruction in this area, how to regulate this seed, because this seed, according to the Bible, is the, according to this document, I know people have problems with it, but we're teaching it in a way that has never been taught. This book says that you are born of God. To be born of the water or the seminal essence in the womb, and to be born of the fire is the serpent. In the book of John, chapter 3, verse 14, it is said that as Moses lifted or raised up the serpent, or lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. What serpent? The serpent, the sexual energies, must be raised up. Now, the caduceus that we see, on the staff of Hermes, which has become the universal symbol for medicine, with the two serpents, the Ida and the Pingala, the yin and the yang. In the Bible, the Adam and the Eve, the negative and positive, the male and female energies are required to go up the spine to the top of the spinal cord, to the pole, to the pineal gland, where it now vibrates at 144,000 hertz or beats per second. There is your 144,000 right there. That stand on Mount Zion with the Lamb of God. The pineal gland is the Lamb of God. The pineal gland in the body is the altar. We all have a pineal gland in the geometric center of our brain and our being. It is the light receiver. It sends out the electrical charges through our bodies. The oil that comes out of the cerebrum or the cerebrum that comes from the colostrum is differentiated at the pineal gland and becomes positive or male. It gets to the pituitary gland, it becomes magnetic and feminine. These oils go down the spinal cord, wrapping around until it gets to a place that is called in the Bible Bethlehem, but it's a thimble-shaped depressed cavity behind the stomach in the solar plexus, where the pneumogastric nerves or the vagus nerve reaches in to this cavity. And through these gases, this pneumogastric nerve, pneumogastric meaning pneumo, meaning wind, air, and gastric meaning the gaseous essence, blow on this oil there. And this oil now becomes a seed. That seed is what we are talking about. It comes down. That seed now is dropped. It falls every 29 and a half days when the moon is in the sign that you were born in. For me, it would be Sagittarius. For Asa, it would be Virgo. Whenever the moon goes every month into Virgo, your seed falls. We must learn the power of this seed, that this seed was never designed to leave our bodies. It was never designed to leave our bodies. This is the great arcanum, the great mystery, the great secret that was hidden. Now, I spoke with my brother today. He's probably listening to me. He said, oh, L, I know what you're talking about, but that is going to be some hot. I can't tell you exactly his words because I don't want to see it on there, but some of you may want to see it. He said, that's going to be the hardest thing in the world. Well, now you know what he was faced with, what Adam was faced with, why this temptation was so great, because it felt so good. It was so good. It's going to be a real hard thing to recondition our minds and then receive the proper instructions on how to regulate this seed in what Romans chapter 12 says, make your body a living sacrifice. Make your body a living sacrifice. Are you listening to me? Holy. Now that word does not mean moral perfection. Holy is not talking about moral perfection. Holy means whole. That's what it means. Moral perfection is not in sight when I say holy and acceptable unto God. Now, the religionists will skip over make your body a living sacrifice. Now, watch this process. Make your body a living. What part of my body? The seed that we are talking about. That seed is to be sacrificed. Your body is called a temple. In a temple, worship goes forth and goes forward. This seed is the Jesus seed. I can prove it to you through the Hebrew language. If you were in my presence, I could show you on a board and write it out for you. Show you that this seed, the Nun or the Nun, is Joshua, the son of Nun, or the fish, is a symbol of this seed, and this seed is, and that is why Jesus, in our culture, his symbol is a fish, because this seed has a fish-like odor, has a fish-like odor. This seed is to be baptized in the River Jordan, which is the circulation system. Then it is to be carried by the energy of the sexual relationship between a man and a woman. It takes negative and positive energies in order to raise this energy up the spinal cord. And to carry this seed, or 10% of this seed, back to the pineal gland, where it passes up the spine through 72,000 nadids on either side of the spine, 72,000 and 72,000 energy centers on both sides of the spine equals 144,000. So people can stop running around talking about they are the 144,000. It's not talking about people. It's talking about the rate and motion and the vibratory frequency of the oil, as it's the hertz, or if you were talking the revs, if you were talking in a car, the revs. It's revved up to 144,000 hertz as it passes through each. It's equivalent to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who were thrown into a fiery furnace that was heated seven times. Okay, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven. The heat is gradually raised, or the vibratory capacity of this frequency is gradually raised as it passes through the seven nerve centers, what they call in the East chakras, but are actually melanin points where the glands are powering the organs. There are seven glands that are powering these organs up our spine till finally it reaches the pineal gland. When this seed reaches the pineal gland, it now is vibrating to such a capacity and such a frequency and rate momentum until it vibrates, and it throws an energy through the corpus callosum to the right brain. It goes through the stria pinealis to the right brain. For now, these vibratory or this frequency awakens your right brain, dormant brain cells. It is what the Bible calls casting your net to the right side between the dura mater in the brain and the pia mater is a thing called the arachnoid. Arachnoid means the web. It's the neurological circuitry filaments through which the electrical currents pass through our brain. And on the right side, in John chapter 21, verse 6, the resurrected or raised Jesus. Jesus is raised from the dead. The seed is raised up. He tells them to cast their net on the right side. Not talking about a fishing net. And the Bible says that they caught 153 fish or fishes. 1 + 5 = 6 + 3 = 9. It's talking about cosmic frequency. 9 is cosmic frequency. Now, when you catch 153 fish, it's talking about right brain activation. You are now in harmony with cosmic frequency because it takes 360 degrees for a circle to be complete. It takes that the sun is its diameter matches this number. The moon width across matches this number. The moon's precession matches this number. 9 is that number that keeps manifesting itself. Actually, 144,000 is 1 + 4, which is 5, + 4, which is 9, which is the cosmic frequency. Now, Kessler said, if you understand 3, 6, and 9, you have the key to the universe. He was a very smart man. You have the key to the universe. So now you are in harmony with cosmic power. Based upon this seed, you are born of God. Now, this is what we need because you cannot love the way the Bible says you are to love if you have not surrendered your submission to this process of making your body a living sacrifice. Because Romans chapter 12 says, make your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, which is your reasonable service unto God. The next verse says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, leave it in the law of the context. Don't take it away from the nuance. Don't take it away from the atmosphere. Leave it in its setting. When you understand this process in the body, Your mind can now be renewed. You can be renewed in your mind. So it is of most urgent necessity that we urgently, with fervor and passion, with intensity, with incessant energies, teach as many as we can this process of how to raise this seed, because our world is like a tick-tock time bomb waiting to explode, because these energies that are coming in will drive people to the very eerie edges of desperation and madness, war, racial conflict, economic crisis, and the people who want to keep this information from you do not want you to understand your potential and your power. Once this happens, we've all seen or heard about the movie Lucy. I heard some people talk about Lucy opening up her right brain, and it was due to chemicals, drugs, and released in her system that opened up her right brain. Well, there is a drug in you already that you were created with that happens every 29 days. If you just wrap your brains around the movie Lucy and understand that the drug is already innately in you, and understand the process and understand how to raise this seed, this is the clue. Money can't buy it. This is what we mean when we say wealth creation by procreation. Now you have the capacity to love. If you've been baptized in somebody's baptism pool and maybe went through a process of catechism, it is my sad responsibility to tell you that that is not the process to be born again. There's only one way to be born that I know of, and I'm going to stop here and let you talk to me. There's only one way to be born, and that is when sexual energies of positive and negative come together. Can anything be born in this dimension? I know of nothing that can be born without the presence of these polarities coming into balance with each other. It takes a bull and an heifer to produce a calf. It takes a stallion and a mare to produce a colt. It takes the male and female energy in order in this birth cycle. And it will take the male and female energies in the spiritual birth cycle, because the spiritual birth cycle is the source, and the physical birth cycle is simply mirroring or reflecting the spiritual birth cycle. So if it takes a man and a woman to give physical birth, it takes a man and a woman to give spiritual birth. This is why when the woman in the fourth chapter of John was asked, y'all stop texting me. I'm trying to talk. You're distracted. Get on the line. I'm going to let y'all talk. Listen, when the woman in the fourth chapter of John asked for everlasting life or waters of everlasting life, after the Christ has tempted or lured her into making a request for this water that would give her everlasting life, he says, go and call your husband. Now, I'm going to give you guys a chance to talk. I'm out of breath. You young men, take it away. Talk to me. Tell me anything that's on your mind. Well, first of all, let's do it this way. Let's see how many minutes I have left. Okay. Let's bring in Aesop, Imhotep, because he's articulate, he's smart. I want to hear from him. I want to give him the mic.
Yes, I've been totally devastated with the information that you've been putting out there. I got a couple questions that I wanted to ask relative to some of the things that was said. First of all, I didn't get a clear understanding as to those who are born of God. You know. Secondly, the perversion, if you will, the altering of the birth. Eve was responsible for the altering of the birth of children, and I would like to know, relative to that, you know, what was the process of birth be, and how would one be able to acknowledge if he or she is born of God?
Well, first of all, the process of, let me take it where you stopped, of being born of God is described in 1 John 3:9. And it says, your seed remains in you. What seed? What seed are we talking about? It's talking about the seed that is formed in the body every 29 and a half days through the process of the oils that come from the brain that wrap, that go down into, you know, what we just previously said. Mm-hmm. And there, when the vagus nerve or the pneumogastric nerve, every 29 days when the moon moves into your sun sign, this oil now forms a seed. It will not happen until the moon. The moon is very important in this process. And I want to take it very slowly with you, because the moon controls the cycles, controls the woman's cycle. It controls the ebb and flow and the tide of the ocean. Our bodies are 75 to 80% water or liquid. It controls that. This is why the saying honeymoon is so important. We look at it, we don't know what it means, but the honeymoon, and it also has to do with the angel Gabriel in the Bible, who announces the birth. Now I'm getting to the second part of your question about the alteration of the childbearing process. Because Gabriel announces the birth of several people in the Bible. But Gabriel is a euphemism or a word or an angel, an angle of light that comes in. When I say archangel, we're talking about arc. We're talking about electricity, like an arc in an electrical situation. At a certain angle that creates this particular condition inside of us where now we are ready to give birth. Thank you. I'm trying to, Tony. I'm trying. Tony keeps texting me, T-T-T. Okay, so now the honeymoon is that period. We have to be instructed in how the sexual relationship is to take place. We need instruction in this area. This time and this space over this phone, this broadcast, will not permit me the luxury or afford me the necessary venue to teach this process. It would be strenuous, to say the least, to try to teach this process over the phone. This is why we give conferences, and this is why we have one-on-one. Right now, we have a young minister in the nation. He's enrolled here at the academy. We have free registration. We have about 2-3 more beds for those of you that want to come. Some of the young men are planning a trip here for our spring event. They're going to come, and we're going to talk about this. And we're going to talk about how to make this happen. Now, there's a picture of me floating around on the Internet with a tube of light going through me with the violet bowl with a gold crown. People try to minimize that picture. But that is not a doctored-up picture. Those are not special effects. That actually was caught on camera. My electromagnetic energy spectrum of my being connected with the harmony and harmonized with the electromagnetic spectrum of our cosmos, and it was caught on camera. I have come across ahead of time for a purpose, to teach this. So to answer your question about being born of God, it has to do with this seed. And this seed must be regulated according to certain certain disciplines, certain methods of breathing, certain methods of meditation. I have 12 points that I teach. Some have 7. I have 12 points that correspond to the 12 systems in your body that I think are necessary. The oil has to be of a certain quality, so we have to make sure that the 12 mineral salts that are in the blood are pure. We have to make sure that our focus, our minds are not contaminated, because the more deception, this is one of the reasons they fed us deception. Let me slow down for a moment. The truth carries a frequency. So does a lie. A lie lets off an electrical charge, an emission, just like a car lets off small, carbon monoxide. Electricity lets off a small, electro small, even in your body. When you lie, there are over 200 different automatic stimulus reflex reactions, because a lie sends a different electrical charge through your body than the truth. So, it is important that we let go of all lies, because a lie lets out an electrical charge that sends the oil, the charge in the oil, that goes to every cell in our body, and it tells it to operate at the wrong frequency or the wrong charge. So one of the reasons they gave us these lies, in terms of some of the theology and dogma and doctrines that we have, is because they can make money off of us being sick. The more lies you have, the more the frequency or the charge you have. So this has to do with the oil. I'm just trying to explain. Breathing, there's some other things that we must do. Proper ingestion of the sun. In the sperm, there is something called aura seminalis. It is sunshine in the sperm. You have to know how to eat the sun. There's a way to do it properly. You have to be taught about that. These are things that must be taught. I didn't want to get into all of this, but these are the things that must be taught in order to understand how we are to be born again and to be born of God. Because this oil and the seed can be destroyed. You can eat too much and create an acid condition, a sulfuric condition in your body. And you get acid reflux, and your body will burn the oil and destroy the seed. Of course, if you're promiscuous and you are having a lot of sex and you're throwing out this seed and just pushing this seed out, you're giving away life forces that were meant to revitalize your body. Now, there's a thing that I call a certain cold. There's a thing that I call a cold. I'm not going to get into it tonight, but it's called the God cold. Once these seeds are returned, let me see how much time I have. Oh, I'm running out. I better stop. I better open up the queue. I better stop. Did I satisfy your question a little bit? I mean, I know I'm jumping kind of all over the place with a lot of information, but I really want to make sure that you got what I was trying to say. I don't know if I did or not. Did I get anywhere close to satisfying your question?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. One of the main things that I really appreciate and acknowledge about these programs on Thursday night is that it instigates thoughts. It makes me think even when I don't want to think. It makes me relook at things that I've been looking at for 100 years, so to speak. It makes me look at things differently, you know, and I really look forward to these things. I really look forward to these sessions and stuff simply because of that. It's a learning process, and I've always been fascinated with, and I've always embraced learning, you know, and who is better to teach us than us, you know, without
right.
any motive, without any kind of ulterior motive or what have you, that we teaching us, and I'm ready to be taught. I've always been a student.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Let Anthony jump in 1 second. What are we to do to advance this seed when it comes in at that particular time, what are some of the things, if you could go into that, to advance that seed? And are you speaking of our moon sign? Because I know we have a sun sign. And like my moon sign is Virgo. A lot of people are familiar with the sun sign, but not familiar with the, you know, the moon, their inner self. So I don't know if you can intertwine that and break that down.
Well, if I understand your question, Anthony, I love that voice, by the way. When the moon goes into your sun sign that you were born in other words, for me, it's Sagittarius. Okay, and just on my birthday, this past week or so ago, my seed failed. So whenever the moon in its cycle going around, and the moon goes around the constellations, the zodiacs, you know, it takes the sun 365 days to go around the zodiac. It takes the moon only 28, 29 days to go all the way around. Okay? So every 2 days, the moon enters into another sign in the zodiac. And the moon is the controlling force here in terms of what we're talking about in the seed, in a sense. But, the sun has a lot to do with it. Your inner sun is your optic thalamus, which is your light of the world. It's the light of the chamber. Thalamus means chamber. Optic, of course, means seed. That is the light. The light receiver in the body is the pineal gland. It receives the light and the electromagnetism, and it also dispenses the light. Now, to aid the seed in terms of raising the seed, being aware, first of all, you have to protect yourself from many, many different things. Negative information, negative emotions, negative people. A mother can have negative thoughts and just make her breast milk, if she's feeding a baby, so poisonous that it will make the baby sick just by thinking the wrong thing. So becoming aware of this seed and becoming aware of the cycle when this seed falls is the first thing. And then to speak to it with consciousness and deliberate intent is charging your oil that you are giving it an instruction to be raised. But now get this now, and this is not obscenity. I'm not talking sexuality in an obscene way. I'm talking about it in an open way. One of the things that our culture has done is made us so religious that we can't have an open discussion about this unless it's Marbury Polrich or Jerry Springer. And then, you know, of course, that's the way they want it to go because they don't want us to know what we're talking about here tonight. You cannot raise this seed unless you have a female if you are a man. You cannot raise this seed if you are a female unless you have a man. And you can't do it if you're a man unless you have a woman. It takes both energy. Period. That's the whole point of Adam and Eve in the garden. Beautiful story. Oh, God, beautiful story. But look at what religion has done to it. Has stripped away the beauty of the story to tell us this principle.